Okay, today's daf is daf mem dalad. So we got to the very bottom of mem gimel amud beis, the last four lines, the new mishra, which begins as follows: Tinokat bas yom echad, a young girl, first day, newborn, mitame benidif. Such a girl would see dam nida. She's already considered a nida, even though she's so young. And we'll see why that's the case in the gemara. Let's say she sees dam for 10 days straight. So we know the first time any woman, any girl sees dam, she's a nida regardless of the age. But let's say she now sees 7 days straight. So that's dam nida. And then she sees in day 8, day 9, and day 10. So those 3 days afterwards are called yimei ziva. So she would be considered now a zava gadola. A tinok ben yom echad, if a boy, a newborn, even on the first day he's born, is metame beziva. If he were to see ziva, he'd have a din of a zav. Umetame ben negam as well. If there's tumas saras on these young babies, that would also be tumas metame betame mace. As well, tumas mace applies just as well to a young child. And it goes on to say that liibum hazokik liibum. Let's say a situation was. Let's say if the brother died without children, so the wife is left a widow without children, and then there's the brother who's Yom Echad, so then she would be obligated to remain, she's stuck to that boy, and he obviously is not old enough to form Yibum or Chalitza, so it's Zokek Liibum, who potem and Yibum as well. Let's say husband dies and leaves an Amana behind, and she has a newborn, that newborn would exempt her from any requirements of Yibum or Chalitza. So let's say the situation is, if you just look at Rashi for the case, the Rashi is Machle B'Tshuma, Bas Yisrael Shenisech L'Kohen. So Bas Yisrael typically can't eat Tshuma. If she gets married to a Kohen, since she's married to a Kohen, she's allowed to eat Tshuma at that point. Mace, let's say the husband dies, so now she goes back to being a Bas Yisrael, so she can't eat Tshuma anymore. But if she has a child from that husband, the child is a Kohen, let's say the child is born, so she dies, the husband dies while she's pregnant. So then she can't eat anymore. But if she gives birth to a child, that child is now a Kohen. That child is Ocheles Bishvilo. But Shuma Bo Bayom Shinola, the day that child is born as a Kohen, since it's her child, she's able to eat from that child. And then Posim Shuma as well, disqualifies from the Shuma, from eating Shuma. What's that case? The Rashi explains here, the last Rashi in the Omud, Posim in a Shuma, Kataka Daitech, the Havminer here is, Kigom Bas Kohen, Shinisei Flisra. So if a girl who's a Kohen, she's allowed to eat Shuma. But if she marries the Yisrael, she's no longer allowed to eat Tshuma anymore. Ume, so that husband dies, b'niach ben yom echad, pasim in a Tshuma beis avia. So if, let's say, she outlives her husband, so now she goes to being a Bas Kohen again, so she's able to eat Tshuma, but if she has a child from that husband who's the Yisrael, that child prevents her, is posel her, from eating Tshuma. So these are all just a list of dinim that even a tinok ben yom echad or a tinok is bas yom echad is able to have there's certain dinim that apply. Then the Mishnah continues on to daf mem dal, which is our daf today. Benochil manchil, a child who, let's say, a father dies and the child is a ben yom echad, that child is nochil, is yorish, the father. Umanchil as well, he also has the ability to manchil. So let's say he's yorish something, this baby, and then that baby dies, that baby will be able to manchil, pass on the Yerusha to siblings. And we'll see that case in the Gemara as well. The Hahorgo, one who murders, one who kills a baby, it's chayv misa, it's just like killing any other person. And Hare, hu la'aviv li'imo u'lechol krovav kichasan shalem. This baby has the same din to a parent or relative like anyone else. This is strange lashon chasan shalem, but we'll see in the Gemara that this is a reference to avelis. All dini avelis applied to such a child. So this is again a long list of dinim that apply to even a newborn. So Gemara now is going to go through all the different sources how we know the Mishnah or the source of the various details of the Mishnah. So Gemara begins. Menachani Mili, how do you know the din is referring to the first halacha in the Mishnah? That a tinoket bas yom echad who sees dam, she has a din of dam nida. What's the source? The Tanur Bar in the Brisa tells us that Isha, it says in the pasuk, Isha ki siya zava dama, yaba besara shivas yamim yitzia bin nidasa. So this is in the context of a nida. And the pasuk says Isha. Isha ain't the ella, Isha, I only know a woman who's an adult, after 12 years old. Bas yom echad lenida minayin. How do I know even a newborn, an infant girl as well, would have the same din as nida? Hamalomer vi Isha, the ekshavav is to include even a tinokes. Then it's in the Mishnah Basasar Yamim Laziva. If she sees Dam straight to day 8, day 9, day 10, so now she's a din of a Zava Gadola. What's the source? Munahani Mile. The Gemara says to Tanur Rabbanan, Isha, Ainli Ela Isha. This is referring to Zava. How do you know Basa Sar Yamin Laziva Minayin Tamalomar V'Isha says the word V'Isha in the context of a Zava to also include a Tinok as Bas Yomechad. What about a Tinok Ben Yomechad, a boy, even on the first day if he sees Ziva, he's a Din of a Zav? Minayin Emile, what's the source? The Tanya Rabban in the Brachot, it says Ish Ish, and the Pasuk continues to say Kiyah Zav Mibsaro Zovo. So this is talking about a Zav. So what's the double Lashon Ish Ish? Not only a man over the age of 13, but even the double lashon is including even a child, even a baby. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shmuel beno, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka Omer, Eino Tzarach. You don't need a special pasuk of Ishish. Kareyu Omer, it says already, Vazav Ezavol Lezachar Lenekeva. It says man or gender. I mean, Isha, Isha, that implies adults. But Zachar Nekeva, boy or girl, that's a gender of a male or female. That has no indication of any age. Zachar implies all ages, and Nekeva implies all ages. So, Zachar Kolshu, Ben Gadol Ben Katan, and Nekeva Kolshu, Ben Gadol Ben Katana. So he agrees to the halacha that a Tinok Ben Yomechad would be subject to the din of Zav, but he just has machlokas what the source is. So now that he's using the word Zachar Nekeva, according to Rabbi Yishmael ben Rabbi Yochanan Shabroka, so in Kain Matam Malomer asks the Gemara, what's the need for Ishish? What's that coming to learn? What's the Joshua? To which the Gemara says, Dibra Torah Kilashon Bnei Adam. The Torah speaks like man. What does that mean? That sometimes when people speak, they use double talk. They repeat themselves. Mm-hmm. So too, not every single word in the Torah is meant to be a Joshua. So when a word is doubled after each other, Rabbi Yishmael is of the opinion throughout that's not a Joshua, that's just the way the Torah writes. So then the Gemara says, Metame binagan, that even a child, even a day-old child who sees Taras will have a din of Tumas Nega, Tumas Taras. The Chassid, it says in the Pasuk by Negaim, Adam kiyeh be'or b'saro, Adam kosher. Adam doesn't imply any age. Adam is a human being, it's a species. So any child, any adult that sees Nega Taras, regardless of the age, will be subject to Tumas Negaim. Then the Gemara quotes from the Mishnah, Metame b'tame meis. So what's the source? That if the child were to die, there's a din of tumas meis. So the Gemara says, dichsiv, or becomes tumas meis, rather, dichsiv val nefashos asher hayusham. The nefashos that were there, so then those nefashos become tumay. Nefesh koldu. Nefesh does not imply ages at all. It doesn't even imply gender. It implies, again, anyone that has a nefesh. Even a day-old baby has a nefesh, and therefore it's subject to the tumah v'tara of tumas meis. The Zokek Liyibum, if a woman loses her husband without any children, and there is a brother-in-law who's even a day old, that would Zokek, that would connect it to the Yibum. She cannot get married until that boy grows older to perform either Yibum or Chalitza. So how do we know? Dichsiv, ki yeshvu achim yachtav. When brothers are living or sitting together, v'achim shayu lehem yeshiva achas ba'olam. That two brothers who are coexisting in the world, there's no indication of a man, an adult, achim, brothers. A 21-year-old brother can have a one-day-old brother, and that would still be included in the pasuk of a ki yeshu achim yachdav, and therefore she's zokek, she's stuck to that boy until he grows older. Upotim yibam. Let's say her husband dies, but she leaves over a child, she's putter from having to yibam. She's single and can freely marry whoever she wants, as long as she has a child, and even if that child's one day old, that exempts her from being zokek to any of the brothers. So how do we know? Because the pasuk says, when is there a mitzvah yibam? Only uven ein lo amrachmana, when she has no son. Ha, implying, the ha is, but in this case she has a child, and therefore regardless of the age, she would be exempt from any even from a brother. So then the Gemara says, umachla mina truma, so the child, if let's say she's a bas Yisrael who marries a kohen, she eats truma. Her husband dies, so normally she would go back to her house and not be able to eat truma, but if she's a child from that kohen, so that child, machla truma, does allow her to continue to eat truma. So how do we know? V'yilid beiso, it says in the pasuk, v'yilid beiso heim yochlu b'lachmo, any yilid beiso, any child, vlad of that house, will allow them to eat from the lechem, which is a reference to truma. Kari bei yachilu b'lachmo, that macha, that they will feed them, that any yilid, any offspring in the house, will continue to allow the mother to eat truma. Then the Gemara says, posim in a truma, let's say she's a bas kohen, so she grows up eating truma. She married a bas Yisrael, or rather ben Yisrael, stam Yisrael. She's not allowed to eat truma anymore. Let's say the Yisrael dies, so then she goes back to her house in the bas kohen, and she can't eat truma unless she has a child from that husband, a Yisrael, that prevents her from eating truma. That's posim in a truma. So how do you know? So the pasuk says, v'zera ein la amrachmana. So only when does she go back to her house to eat? It's only true, right? The pasuk says, "Ubas kohen." I'm reading outside for a second. "Ubas kohen kisiel amalna," when she becomes a widow or grusha, or she becomes divorced, V'zera ein la, she has no children, so the din is, says the pasuk, v'shava el beit aviyah, she goes back to her beit aviyah b'kinu resh, she goes back to her father's house, which means milecha aviyah tocha, she could eat from her father's house, which means shuma. But the pasuk says only if zera ein la, she has no children. But ha, back to the Gemara, zera ein la, marachmana, only if there's no children, can she go back to her father's house, the Kohen, ha isu, but in this case, she has a child, and that's why she can't go back. So Gemara says, my iria zera. Why does the pasuk only say zera, only if she has a child, which indicates, which implies a child that's born? The din is, afilu ubernami, even if she's pregnant with a child to be, with a child to be that's a Yisrael, that will also prevent her from coming back. Because it says in the pasuk, kinu'ra, only she goes back to kinu'ra, like she was when she was a nara, which means she wasn't pregnant. But if she's loses her husband, she gets divorced from the husband while she's pregnant, that's not kinu'ra. So even if she's pregnant, she wouldn't go back to the father's house, and that would be enough to disqualify her from eating truma. So why does the pasuk also say zera? Lavdafka zera, even mu'beres would be prevented from eating truma. And the Gemara answers, Shicha, you need both the pasuk of kinu'ra to exclude a mu'beres, and you also need the pasuk of zera. Why do you need both a zera and a mu'beres? Because the Kasar Achmona, the Torah said, v'zera ain la, she has no children, mishum dimei karachad gufa v'hasha tre gufa, because initially when she was in her father's house, she was one guf, and now she's a child, she's two bodies. So that doesn't go back. So that's when she's not allowed to go back to her father's house. Aval hacha, but here, when she's only pregnant, I would have thought, dimei karachad gufa v'hasha gufa. She go initially by her father's house, she was one guf, and now also, even though she's pregnant, that's still all one guf. Now it might be a bigger guf. It might imply a new guf in the future, sometime in a few weeks or a few months, but right now she's one guf. So maybe I would have thought, ematocha, she should be allowed to eat truma because she's still one guf, and therefore, kasra achmana kinu re. She has to be just like she was when she was a nara, which means she wasn't pregnant. But let's say the other way. He kasra achmana kinu re. Had it only had a pasuk kinu re, which excluded muberes, that she doesn't go back to her father's house, mishum demekara gufa strika v'hasha gufa malya, because she's not kinu re. When she was a nara, she was a very skinny, she was empty, but now that she's full, she's pregnant, so it doesn't go back. So maybe in that case, that's why the muber, she doesn't go back to eat, because she's a different person now. About hacha here, when she already given birth, so the child is completely separate from her, demekara gufa strika v'hasha gufa strika. She as an individual, forget her child, she's an empty individual. She's skinny, she's whatever her physical makeup is, and therefore she is individually kinu re. And therefore, ematocha, I would have thought that she could actually eat when the child has left the body. And shicha, therefore, if she has a child, that child prevents her from going back to eat in her father's house, shum. So Gemara says, kroy atir, it's fine. So we answered, the psukim are answered now, that's fine. Elam asis, we explain why it says in the pasuk v'zera in la, and we explain why it says kinu re. But what we have not answered yet, masnisin ma'iriya ben yomecha rafil ubernam. When the Mishnah here presents to us that a Bas Yisrael is pater, rather Bas Kohen is posted from a Chuma, if it's a child ben yom echad, why didn't the Mishnah tell us even an Uber? So that's the question. Why did the Mishnah tell us even a fetus will prevent her from eating Chuma back in her father's house? So Amar Rav Sheshit, Rav Sheshit answers the question. He says, Hacha b'mayaskin, what's the case here in the Mishnah? The Mishnah's case is, the Kohen sheyesh lo shtei nashim. There's a Kohen, and he has two wives. Achas Grusha, one he divorces, and Achas Shena Grusha, and one is not divorced, the Kohen dies. So he divorces the first one, then he dies, and the second one becomes an Amana. V'yesh l'banam ish'ena Grusha, he has children from the one he didn't divorce, the one he was an Amana. V'yesh l'ben yomechad min ha'grusha, he has one child from the divorced wife. V'deposa ba'avde aviva mila'echel shuma. So he disqualifies. If we look at Rashi here, Rashi says, where did Rashi say? One second here. Go back to the top of Rashi. Amar Rashi, around seven lines down in Rashi. Amar Rashi, Rashi says, "Hi, posa lav imo kai, ala avad of kai." So first, he tells you the context here. We're not talking about a mother. We're talking about an eved. The hach of a kohen shayil shtei nashim. So an eved of a kohen is allowed to eat. So what happens here in this case? Achas grusha shayis a grusha v'avar v'nasa. So one was a grusha, and he married this grusha. So we know he's not allowed to marry a grusha, but the Kohen marries her anyways. The Yeshua banam she'ena grusha, and he also had a woman he married, beheter. And the one that beheter, that she'ena grusha, he has children. Bein kohanim k'sherim. So his children from that ena grusha are kasher kohanim. V'avadim shenafu lehem be'yerusha. And when the Kohen father dies, any avadim that go to the kasher children, the avadim are allowed to eat truma, they can eat truma. Fine. Next Rashi. He also has a ben echad min a grusha, but the divorced wife who he married, the divorcee, So that he has a child from as well. That child now becomes a chalal. The ainah roi lakuna is not fit to work as a kohen or any other dinim of a kohen. The yeishal chedik b'avadim. He also, but in terms of the yerusha, he does get a yerusha. So any eved he gets, those of them are posel as kulam the truma. They disqualify all the other ones from eating truma. Shein anu yodim levar livor mi hamigil lechalcha. We don't know which eved goes to which one. Even though we might choose that that eved goes here, that eved goes to the other son. In the end of the day, we don't really know where it falls out. And the din is, so if there's one, if a tinok ben yomechad from the grusha, since when the yerusha takes place, when the death takes place, each child has a theoretical chelik of all the avadim, so that ben yomechad from the grusha, who's a chalal, has a chelik in every eved possibly, and therefore disqualifies all the avdei kohanim from eating any truma. Even if the tinok is a ben yomechad, that's what the mishnah means, it's posim in a truma. Not the gabi, the mother. The mother, we know the halach is by the mother. But in regards to the Eved, if it's a Ben Yomechad from that Grusha, that would disqualify all the Avadim, even the ones that the Kusher children end up getting, they're all disqualified. And this is all, says the Gemara, Lafuke, to exclude the opinion of Midrevi Yossi, who holds Lamar Uber Nami Pasa. He holds not only a Tinuk Ben Yomechad of a Grusha disqualifies an Eved from eating the Chuma, but even if it's an Uber, even if it's simply a pregnant woman, a fetus, of that it's a relationship of the potential chalal will also disqualify. So we don't hold that way. It's only when the child is once born. Kamash Milan, that only Ben Yomechad in, but if it's an Uber, the lach would be low. It would not disqualify according to the way the Mishnah understands. The Gemara now says, Nochel Umanchel, last three lines of the Amud here, that a child is able to be Nochel Yorish from a parent, and he's Manchel. And if he were to die, he's Manchel. He could pass on his Yerusha. So Nochel Iman, from whom is this child being Yorish from? Me'aviv, right? The only one, his father dies. And Manchil Laman, and when he dies, his child, in theory, who is he Manchil to? It's La'achiv Me'aviv, to his brothers, from his father. So his father's side, his brothers. So the Gemara says, it's such an unnecessary step here, of the Tinoch Ben Yomechad Yorish, and then giving over to the brothers, because Ibai Me'avul Yarseh, Ibai Mineli Yarseh. So if he wants the child, the other brothers, there's no chiddush here. Because the brothers, is there a Rashi that explains this clearer? Yeah, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, Ibai me'avul li'aretz, afilu chashivne le'kiman de'lese yarse la'acher vis-aviyem viu ma'ahani. So the din is as follows, that when the father dies, so rather when the child dies, they divide all the property of this ben yomechad to all the brothers. So that's how they would have done it had the son not been alive in the first place. Meaning, let's say you have, I don't know, three brothers and then there's a tinuk, a child. So if the child didn't exist, so the three would split evenly. Now the child does exist, so then they split four ways, but when the child dies, he gives his chalik to the other three brothers and they go back to the receiving one-third like they did beforehand. Meaning it really doesn't make any sense that he's nochel manchel, he's not really accomplishing anything. A child who's nochel and then a child who's manchel afterwards, the three brothers will get the same Yerusha whether the child was alive or not, and therefore that can't be the case of the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you what the case of the Mishnah is of nochel be manchel. Amar Rav Sheshe says it's the situation of nochel be nichse ha'im. Let's say they're three brothers, and there's a fourth brother, the child, the baby. Now they all share the same father, but they have different mothers. So this baby has a different mother than the first three older brothers. So that baby, when the mother dies, he's Yorish the mother. But now, what happens is, if the child dies, he's Morish, he's Manchil to the brothers. Now, the brothers otherwise wouldn't have gone from that mother, because it wasn't their mother, it was their half-brother's mother. So the din is that when the child's alive, if the mother dies first, so the child's Yorish from the mother, and if the child dies afterwards, then he's Morish over to the brothers. That's the chiddush we're learning from here. And we're about to see that's only true that child is only able to be Nochel from the mother to be Manchil to the brothers. Only true, says the Gemara again, Nochel b'nichseim. And then in turn he's lahanchel achav me'av, and then he passes over to his brothers from his father's side. And this is all true. Dafka ben yom echad. Only the child is a day old baby. About uber lo. But if the child, let's say, is not born yet, and somehow the mother dies, and then the mother dies first, and then the child dies afterwards. So during pregnancy, during labor rather, the mother dies, and then they're able to extract the child. The child wasn't born yet, but now the child's alive for however long. So then that's not good enough, because the tinok has to be alive, be born, when the mother dies. So again, about uber low, when the child's only a fetus, it can't be nochel from the mother. My time up. Do my spirisha, because the muberes died first. Veina ben yorishis emo, be keber, lahanchil la'achiv me'af. So I'll explain what's going on here. Let's say a regular case. and you have four brothers. Three brothers have one mother. They all have the same father, but three brothers have one mother, and the fourth brother has a different mother. Let's say that fourth brother dies. He's buried already. He's bekever. Then that dead brother's mother dies. We don't say, let the property go to the dead brother and then go to the brothers who are alive. It doesn't work that way. It can't be nochel bekever. The Gemara says here as well, when the mother and the uber, when the fetus die, both of them during labor, since the child wasn't born yet, the child died, so the child was never in existence to be nochel the mother. So that's what we're saying. Only if the child was born does he have the right to be nochel his mother, and then after the baby dies, to be manchel over to the half-brothers from the father's side. So Gemara says, Aini, is that really true? Is that really true that the uber dies first? Meaning, let's say the mother and the fetus die during labor. So do we really assume that the uber died before the mother? Maybe the mother died first, and then the uber died afterwards. So Gemara says, V'ha hava ubda, wasn't there once a maisa of an uber where the mother died? U'pirkes atlas pirkuse. And the mother died, and they were able to extract the child. The child was already dead, but it wasn't really dead because it was moving. It was making all these shivers and shakes. So we see that there was still some life after even the mother died. And then the uber didn't live. It only a few seconds of movement, but it still was moving after the mother died. So really the mother died first, and then the uber. So maybe the uber should be nocha from the mother first. So Amar Mar Brei Dervashi Midi Dehavi Azan of Hata Timafarkesis. The fact that there's movement there and there's some nerve movement does not indicate any life source. And the raya is from the tail of a type of lizard, I believe, some type of a reptile, that if you cut off the tail, that tail is still going to move around for some time until it finally dies because it's some reaction of the nerves, but that does not imply any life. Certainly when a tail is cut off, it's not connected to any life. See, as well, the uber might have moved a few movements afterwards, but that's not an indication of any life, and therefore we assume if mother and child died during labor, the child died first. Okay, the Gemara now says, Mar Breid of Yosef Mishmei Derava Amar, he says, Lomar, to tell us, when the Mishnah had said, back to that case of, we're talking about Ben Yom Echad is Nochel Manchil, he's talking about Lomar, She Mimait Bechelek Bechora, that it minimizes the amount of Bechor that Bechor takes, which means, Amar Mar Breid of Yosef Mishmei Derava, Ben Shenolad Achar Mitzat Ha'av, so then Einam Mimait Bechelek Bechora. Let's say a father leaves his wife pregnant. So then the father dies first, and then after this, when father dies, we know Bechor gets Pishnayim. So let's say there's a case of three brothers, and then the mother's pregnant. So three brothers, so father dies, so the oldest brother gets Pishnayim, and the other two get everything else. So what happens is you divide everything in four parts, really. Let's say three brothers. You divide all the Yerusha in four parts, and what happens is that the oldest brother gets 50% of the property and the other gets 25%, 25, at 100%. This way, he gets Pishnayim, he gets double portion, the oldest brother. But let's say four brothers were born, so then you split four into five halakim, because Pishnayim, you only want five, so you split into five halakim, that's 20% each. So what happens is the Bechor gets 40%, and the other three brothers get 20%, 20%, 20%, that adds up to 100%. But let's say that fourth brother wasn't born yet. The din is, even though the mother may have been pregnant, if the father dies, we go based on Shas Misa. What was the moment of death? So since the baby wasn't born yet, that baby is not able to be Mimayit Bechor. He doesn't take into consideration. We don't take him into consideration when it comes to telling how much the Bechor gets. So therefore, if it's born after, again, Ben Shenolad Acher Misa Zahav, if the child was born after the death of the father, This unborn child does not take away from the Bechor. By time, what's the reason? It says in the Pasuk, V'yaldu lo ba'inam, has to be born to him. Once it's born, does it diminish the amount of Bechor, the Pishayim from the Bechor? But if it's not yet born, even though it's already in vitro, still it's not Mimayit. So that's what the Mishnah said, only a Tinok ben Yom Echad, if it's born in the world, is it Mimayit from the Chelek of Bechor? Will it minimize how much the Bechor will actually take? So the Gemara says, Besura Masni Hachin, Sur, they taught as follows. The Pumbedisa Masni Hachin, but in Pumbedisa, Besura, they taught what we just taught. But the Pumbedisa Masni Hachin, but in Pumbedisa, they learned a little bit differently, like we're about to learn, that Amar Mar Bred of Yosef Mishmei, the Rava Bechor Shinola, the Achar Mises Aviv, a Bechor, not a, but a firstborn that is born after the father. So then the din is, that's what we say, that in order for a Bechor to take Pishnayim, he has to be alive and to meet the father, even for a few seconds. But let's say the father died, left his wife pregnant for the first child, and then the wife gives birth to their bechor. That bechor doesn't take pishnayim because it has to be a case of twins. Because if not twins, so then there's no, he's not dividing with anyone. It's the only child. So it's a situation where they're twins. So the firstborn child, they're only born after the father dies. There would not be a din of bechor. They would split evenly 50% and 50%. If, however, the twins are born while the father is alive, then there would be pishnayim. It would be 66% to 33%. That's how they would divide it. But my time, why does the child have to be born, the bechor has to be born in the lifetime of the father? Yakir, but you know, yakir means to recognize. The father has to recognize the child, has to meet the child, and v'halak, in this case, since the father died first, there is no recognition, and therefore there's no din of pishnayim. Hilchas Abamah, how do we paskin here? The Gemara says, K'chol hani lishna, demar b'reid of Yosef, mishmei the Rabbah. We paskin like all the statements that are named, that are in the name of mar b'reid of Yosef. That's how we assume halacha l'maisa. Continuing now in the sources of the Mishnah, the Gemara says that ha'horik chayv, one who murders, even a tinok ben yom echad, is chayv misa. It says in the pasuk, by ritzicha, v'ish ki yake kol nefesh, a person who murders any nefesh, kol nefesh, any age, any type, is mikol makom, so even a tinok ben yom echad. And then the Mishnah had said, the last line of the Mishnah, very strange language, it said, that this child is like a to his father, to his mother, and to all his relatives, like a chasen shalim. So my hilchah, so what halach is that referring to? What does mean a chasen shalim? Amar papa le'inyan avelus is referring to avelus, that if the child dies, so all the parents and all the siblings have to mourn upon his death. Right, so that's next command. The Gemara says, wait a second, but who is this command? Who does this Mishnah hold like that even a ben yom echad warrants proper avelus? It can't be, like Ezra just said, the lo k'rabban shemim gamliel, damar kol shishah shloshim yom v'adam eino nefil. So if it lived for 30 days a child and then died, that's not a nefil. But haloshah, if it didn't live, a child didn't live for 30 days, it's a safek ave, it's only a safek, and seemingly there wouldn't be a din of avelus. So you need 30 days, according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, to warrant a velus. Gemara says, no, here's the situation where you know it's a full term. The definition of a nafil is a child that isn't full term. So one indication is that if it didn't live for more than 30 days, that implies that we assume it is a nafil, and it's not a full term baby, and therefore it doesn't warrant proper velus. But let's say you know it's a full 9 month pregnancy, and then the child is born, and it dies after just one day, the Mishnah explains that itself also would indicate it's a full-term baby and would warrant proper avelus. Okay, the new Mishnah tells us now here in Mem, Dalet, and Beis, Bas Shalosh Shanam V'Yom Echad Mitkadeshes Babia. Once a girl reaches the age of 3 years and a day old, that's considered a royal Babia, and she's able to get married. V'im Ba'ale Yavam Kana, let's say she's married already, and then she loses her husband, so now she has no children, so her brother wants to perform Yibam, and the Yavam is a Bala, that would be a kinyan that works, because the age of 3 and a day old, she's considered a Roy Labia. The Chayav Malav Mishim Eishas Ishim, she's married at the age of 3 or above, and she's with another man, so that's the din of Eishas Ish, and whichever man's with her is Chay Misa, she's not, because she's a Ketana, but the man is Chay Misa. And then the Mishnah says, Matamas Bala, Latami Mishka V'tachton Ke'elyom, and if she sees Dam Nida and husband's Bala, so any man's Bala, so that husband takes on, that man takes on all the dinam of a Bal Nida, and he's a Mamish and Abba Tuma, the Mishkav Tachton Ke'elyon. This is Lakar, and if this side, this girl over the age of 3 is a Bas Yisrael, and she marries a Kohen, she's allowed to eat Truma from that point on. Bala Acham Napsum, if someone who's Pasal, that she's a Bas Kohen. And let's say some Pasal is Bala, so then she's Pasal Nakuna, she's disqualified forever from marrying a Kohen after the age of 3. Bala Echa Mikol Arayos Amuras B'Torah, any of the Arayos is Bala, it could be a sibling, whatever other Arayos there are, the din is that Mumsin Aleha V'hi Peturah, that man, if that man is over the age of 13, is this, one of their Arayos there, and is Bala, that man is Chai Mitzah, but she's Pater, and then she says V'hi Peturah, because she's a Katana. Pachas Mikan, if it's anything less than the age of 3, and there's any of the above listed cases, then the din is it's meaningless. There's no bia for under the age of 3, and it wouldn't affect kedushin, yibum, and so on. Why Pachas Mikan under the age of 3 is kenosin espa b'ayin, just like putting a finger in the eye, it's a meaningless act, and therefore there's no chalos of a bia. The Gemara says, Taner Baran, the last eight lines of the Amud or so, the Braisa tells us, quote, the Braisa, Bas Shalosh Shalom Miskadeshes Babia, Divrei Rabbi Meir, just like our Mishnah says, from the age of three, Bia takes place. But not really like our Mishnah, because this, you'll see in a second, it's very different, not very different, but it's really Chachamim Omen, Bas Shalosh Shalom V'yom Echad. So while Rabbi Meir says 3 years clean, Chachamim requires 3 years plus 1 day. So our Mishnah says 3 years plus a day. So our Mishnah is like the Chachamim. So my B'nai, what's the nafkamina between Rabbi Meir and Chachamim? We know. Amr debay Rabbi Yanai, Erev Rosh Hashanah, Ikmanayu, Erev Rosh Hashanah, which means, Rashi explains, it's six lines up, Erev Rosh Hashanah, Shel Shana Revius, so not talking about the Rosh Hashanah of our, you know, annual Rosh Hashanah, but her Rosh Hashanah, her birthday, in other words, that that even leading into the fourth year, the Rabbi Meir, Gufa lo habibas bia ad yom achron shel shlishis, to Erev Rosh Hashanah. So the Erev Rosh Hashanah, which means the day before her birthday, that's when the year is complete. Erev Rosh Hashanah is already, she's Roy Labia. But according to the Rabbanan, it's one more day. Alamach, until the very next day, Demikla Yom Rishon Brevish, you need day one into the fourth year. So that's the Machlokas, just 1 day, a very, very narrow Machlokas. But then comes along the Gemara and says, Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Shloshi Yom B'Shana Chashuv M'Shana Ikmanau. 30 days is considered a full year. That's the Nafkamina. What does that mean? So Rashi explains in the very last Rashi in the page here, Shloshim Yom Ikabinayu, the Rabbi Meir, Michi Ikle Shloshim Yom B'Shana, when 30 days arrive, according to Rabbi Meir, Shlishis Habibas Bia, which means 2 years and 30 days is all you really need for Rabbi Meir. 30 days is considered a full year. So that's 2 years and a month. With Rabbanan Ad Demikle Shana Revius, he says you need a full year. So it comes out there's an 11-month difference between Rabbi Meir and Chachamim, and Rashi says that Ikad and Bidayo Tuba, there's a very, very big distinction between Rabbi Meir and Chachamim. That's the understanding of Rabbi Yochanan. Now we assume like Chachamim, you need 3 years and a day. The debate is, what's Rabbi Meir's Shita? Is it 3 years clean, or is it 2 years plus 30 days? The Gemara asks the question, and we'll finish with this, Meisivai. Three years, and he says not only 3, but even 2 years and a day, 1 day, is considered Roy Labia according to Rabbi Meir, and Chachamim Omrim, so 3 years and a day. So the question here is for Rabbi Meir. Vishma the Rabbi Yochanan, so Rabbi Yochanan, we understand why there's an opinion out there that says 2 years and even 1 day, 2 years and a day is good enough, because just like Kiecha the Ikatana the Kamer Yom Echad, B'Shana Kashav Shana, meaning we have out there a shita that 1 day is considered a year and 30 days is considered a year. We have different examples. I don't know if Rashi brings them up. Does Rashi bring them? Rashi doesn't say them. But we have in a case of Rosh Hashanah, for example, one case that comes to mind, when it comes to counting the years for the Melech, so the very first mission, the first daf in Rosh Hashanah tells you when you count for the, who's the king of that year. So if a king rules even for 1 day in the new year, that's considered that that's his entire year. So we have 1 day is like a year, and 30 days is like a year. So those concepts exist. So we have a Tana that holds 30 days, and another Tana that holds 1 day is a considered year. That makes sense. But El, according to the Tana of Damar, Shoshim Yo, or El Rabbi Yochanan, rather, Rabbi Yanai, who says that you need 3 full years and nothing less than that, Kasha, this Brisa doesn't make sense. How could you have such a big distinction? That if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, Ella Rabbi Yanai, Damar the Rabbi Meir, Ad Sof Shana Shlishis, La Bas Biahi, Kasha. How's he going to understand the Tana? How could there be Tana out there that thinks the Rabbi Meir requires even 1 day? Meaning, according to Yochanan, who's in Amara, so we have another, it makes sense that there's a Brisa that holds you need 1 day for a full year, and there's another Brisa he holds that 30 days is for a year. But according to Rabbi Yanai, who requires full 3 years, there's not even a Hanamina to have such a Tana to hold 1 day is sufficient for a full year, and therefore ends off as Akasha, this Bryce is Akasha for the understanding of Shita Rabbi Yanai within the Shita of Rabbi Meir.